It's Thursday, the 11th of June, day 82. When I was writing the post on the blog today about Rodney Brooks's refreshing views on peer review, I fell to thinking about the current explosion of academic papers about COVID-19, which has tended to overwhelm the traditional academic publishing system. And this in turn led to thoughts about the way mainstream media seems to fetishize peer reviewing. And then to the thought that it's no surprise that most lay people find it difficult to understand scientific papers. And the end point of this rambling thread was suddenly remembering a lovely article that Peter Medawar wrote in 1964 under the arresting title, "Is a Scientific Paper a Fraud?" Medawar was an immensely distinguished biologist. He shared the 1960 Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine for his research on the human immune system, research which opened up the possibility for transplant surgery. But he was also a very gifted writer about science. Looking up just now, I can see four volumes of his collected essays on my bookshelves. And he had a terrific eye for a headline, or an arresting title. His essay on whether the scientific paper was a fraud is a case in point. He didn't mean fraud in the traditional sense, i.e. a deliberate attempt to mislead. His argument was simply that the traditional form of a peer-reviewed scientific paper completely misrepresented the discovery process that led to the publication. First, he wrote, there's a section called the introduction, in which you describe the general field in which your scientific talents are going to be exercised, followed by a section called previous work, in which you concede, more or less graciously, that others have dimly groped towards fundamental truths that you are now about to expound. Then there's a section on methods, which is unexceptional and often boring. After this comes a section labelled results, which consists, Medawar writes, of a stream of factual information in which it is considered extremely bad form to discuss the significance of the results you're getting. You have to pretend firmly that your mind is, so to speak, a virgin receptacle, an empty vessel for information which floods into it from the external world for no reason which you yourself have revealed. And then finally, there's a section entitled Discussion, in which, says Medawar, you adopt the ludicrous pretense of asking yourself if the information you have collected actually means anything, of asking yourself if any general truths are going to emerge from the contemplation of all the evidence you brandished in the section called Results. So what's wrong with this? Well, everything, says Medawar, because it gives a totally misleading impression of the thought processes that go into the making of scientific discoveries. The discussion, which in the traditional scientific paper goes last, should surely come at the beginning. The scientific facts and scientific acts should follow the discussion, and scientists should not be ashamed to admit, as many of them apparently are ashamed to admit, that hypotheses come by all kinds of routes. The traditional structure of the paper can't admit that conjectures are often imaginative and inspirational in character, rather than the outcome of cold logic. And so it's in its implicit denial of the way that ideas emerge and are explored, tested, and falsified or corroborated only later that the scientific paper is a fraud. It's a lovely idea, and I've often wondered what philosophers of science like Karl Popper would have made of it. Not much, I suspect. But by writing that essay in the way he did, Medawar made a lot of non-scientists think about it, and thereby contributed something valuable to the public understanding of science. I met him once at one of the weekly lunches held by Encounter, an ideas magazine to which he and I were occasional contributors. He was one of the grandees of the publication, and I was a lower form of pond life by comparison. But I found myself sitting next to him at lunch, and as a former graduate student myself, cheekily asked him what advice he gave to his research students. "Oh," he said airily, "I tell them that research is basically fairly straightforward. All you have to do is to pick a problem that's big enough to be worth solving and," here he paused briefly, "small enough to be solved." It was terrific advice which I've shamelessly repeated ever since with every student and researcher I've advised or supervised. And I commend it to you, dear listener, because it never fails.